Well, thank you, Ed, and thank you, Ken, so much, and Bill, for giving me this opportunity to say a few words about the person we're going to honor. We all know Ed Fulner as the longtime president of the Heritage Foundation, arguably the most influential conservative think tank in Washington, D.C., and indeed America. We're aware of his prodigious fundraising, his ability to keep 100 or so heritage analysts on a conservative track, requiring the skills of a CEO, an academic dean, and a wild horse wrangler. His talent for communicating complex ideas in simple but powerful language. But a think tank president must be more than a fundraiser, or a manager, or a communicator. He must be at home in the world of ideas. That is, he must be an intellectual. And that's a side of Ed Fulner I'd like to discuss for a few minutes this evening. It's Ed's keen mind that we recognize tonight, not his winning way with golden donors or his brilliant management of a major research organization. His education began at the Catholic schools of Elmhurst, Illinois, Chicago suburb. He enrolled at Regis College, now Regis University, a Jesuit-run liberal arts college in Denver, where he earned a BA in English with a minor in philosophy. As a Regis freshman, Ed began delving into the conservative canon, reading The Conservative Mind by Russell Kirk and Liberty or Equality by, do we know the author? Eric von Kuhnhold-Ledeen. I wonder, Ed, did the Jesuits know you were reading such subversive literature? Well, these books and publications like National Review and Human Events helped turn his conservative instincts into conservative convictions. He became a Goldwaterite at 19 after reading the senator's 1960 manifesto, The Conscience of a Conservative. Considering a career in business, he enrolled in the Wharton School of Commerce and Finance at the University of Pennsylvania. And while in Philadelphia, Ed lunched frequently with ISI's president, Vic Melione, who became an intellectual mentor in a non-classroom setting. Ed Fulner left Wharton not only with a graduate degree in business administration, but a deeper understanding of political philosophy and conservatism. Wanting to continue his studies abroad at the London School of Economics, Ed applied to ISI and received a Richard Weaver Fellowship. In fact, he was one of the first recipients of a Weaver. While at LSE, Ed was exposed to Kenneth Minogue, one-time pupil of the British philosopher Michael Oakeshott. He met for the first time that giant of modern economics, Friedrich Hayek, who often lectured at the London School. Dr. Hayek would later become, at Ed's invitation, a distinguished fellow at Heritage. Now, here I have to backtrack a little. In the fall of 1964, with the defeat of conservative Barry Goldwater in the presidential race looming, Ed and his good friend and our good friend, dear late friend, Don Lipsit, conceived the idea of starting a society of conservative intellectuals. It would be an American version of the Mount Pelerin Society, begun by Hayek some 20 years before. It would also serve as an alumni association of ISI. Ed and Don, then in their early 20s, decided that to be successful, the new group would need the participation of two key conservatives. Author-editor William F. Buckley Jr., representing the traditionalist wing of the conservative movement, and economist Milton Friedman, representing the libertarian or classical liberal wing. Incredibly, these two prominent, eminent conservatives had never met. But Ed and Don knew both of them through ISI and invited them to an organizational meeting in New York City. Buckley and Friedman quickly endorsed the idea of a multidiscipline organization, and not for the first time in his life, Ed Fulner was elected treasurer. But he lacked the resources to open a bank account. He's an impecunious student. Bill Buckley pulled out his checkbook and wrote a check for $100, enabling the Philadelphia Society to open for business. All right, now let's return to the making of an action intellectual. In the fall of 1965, following his studies at the London School of Economics, Ed Fulner came to Washington, D.C. as the first public affairs fellow of the Center for International Studies. He spent a year at CIS researching and writing about American trade policy toward the Soviet Union. He also enrolled in Georgetown University, seeking a PhD in economics. His faculty advisor was economics professor Lev E. Dobryansky, the originator of the annual Captive Nations Week, authorized by Congress and proclaimed by every president from Dwight D. Eisenhower to, surprise, he has to, by virtue of law, Barack Obama. After his stint at CIS, Ed went to work for Secretary of Defense Mel Laird as his confidential assistant, served as chief of staff for, I think, what would be agreed to by everyone as the most intellectual member of the House of Representatives, Phil Crane of Illinois, and then became the executive director of the Republican Study Committee, a group of conservative House Republicans that became a major force in the House of Representatives and the Washington political community. Well, in the spring of 1977, the Heritage president, Frank Walton, announced he was returning to California, and the foundation's board of trustees quickly chose Edwin J. Fulner as the new president of the Heritage Foundation, in which position he served for over 3 decades. Along the way, he's written 7 books. My favorite is The March of Freedom, a collection of thoughtful essays on the most important thinkers of the modern conservative movement. Authored a weekly column on current issues of the issues that most important thinkers, I should say, on issues, current issues from Afghanistan to the zygote. Served as president and treasurer once again, and still does, as the Mount Pelerin Society. President of this esteemed organization, chairman of ISI, and among his many governmental appointments, delivered in 1982 the final U.S. address to the United Nations on rearmaments. Oh, sorry, that should be disarmament. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, right, disarmament, right. But I'm sure he was tempted to go the other way. There are many reasons for Ed's success as Heritage president, but all that he does rests firmly on the ideas of Russell Kirk, F.A. Hayek, Kenneth Minogue, Milton Friedman, and Richard Weaver. Now, you may recall my earlier reference to Ed's pursuit of a PhD at Georgetown. He had finished his coursework, passed his German and French exams, and had begun preparing for his oral examinations when he encountered not-so-subtle faculty comments about his open conservatism and his work for Mel Laird, a well-known hawk on the war in Vietnam. It became clear to Ed that a Georgetown PhD was a no-go. But he never abandoned his dream of a doctorate. In 1978, Professor John McIntosh, a Labour member of the British Parliament, persuaded Ed to seek a PhD at his school, the University of Edinburgh. Ed received credit for most of his Georgetown courses, thank heavens, but still had to visit Edinburgh frequently to meet with McIntosh and other university faculty. In 1981, after years of rising at 4:30 a.m. to work on his dissertation and squeezing in transatlantic trips to Scotland in between his duties as Heritage president, Ed received his doctorate in politics from the University of Edinburgh. When President Reagan bestowed the Presidential Citizens Medal on Ed Fulner, he lauded Ed for being, quote, a voice of reason and values in service to his country and the cause of freedom around the world. Ed has said that receiving the medal was the proudest moment of his life, but I suspect that he was no less proud when he received his PhD, because it represented his deep belief in the power of conservative ideas, such as free enterprise, limited government, individual freedom, traditional American values, and a strong national defense, and his commitment to building an America where freedom, opportunity, prosperity, and civil service flourish. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Dr. Edwin J. Fulner as we induct him as a distinguished member of the Philadelphia Society.